Are the UK media out to get Jeremy Corbyn, or is he just feeling the inevitable pressure of being Labour leader? In a fly-on-the-wall documentary for news website Vice, Mr. Corbyn has argued that the BBC is obsessed with trying to damage his leadership and accused some within his own party of playing into its hands. In a series of interviews with Ben Ferguson, a Vice journalist and Labour member who voted for him as party leader, the Labour leader revealed his feelings about how he feels he's portrayed in the media.
There is not one story on any election anywhere in the UK that the BBC will not spin into a problem for me. It's obsessive beyond belief that they are obsessed with trying to damage the leadership of the Labour Party, and unfortunately there are people in the Labour Party that play into that.
So, does he have a point, or is he just feeling the real pressure of being the leader? Let's speak to the journalist Paul Gosling and also the former Labour MP Tom Harris. Tom, if we turn to you first. You know, you're not really a Jeremy Corbyn fan to begin with, but do you think he's a point here?
I'm certainly not a fan, but, well, before we answer the question whether there's a point, where's the evidence? You know, where is the list of events and incidents where Jeremy and his team can point to and say, well, this was reported inaccurately, deliberately or otherwise, and this is what they should have said? It's all very well just to fire accusations at professional journalists in a kind of very general sense and leave the audience to draw their own conclusions. But unless you back up with evidence, then I'm afraid you really don't have any point at all. And there is absolutely no evidence whatever that the BBC or any of the other broadcasters are treating Corbyn unfairly. Now, I think it's different with the press, the media, you know, the newspapers. They clearly have decided they're against him, but that's no different from any other Labour leader in history.
Yeah, and the newspapers are entitled to have opinion within that. I mean, Paul Gosling, is it not the case that Jeremy Corbyn just is simply finding it very tough being in a position where he has to answer hard questions, having been someone who sits in the back benches all his life and is really criticised from there as opposed to having to take responsibility?
Well, he clearly feels that he isn't getting an even shout in terms of the media, and you can understand his point. And when Tom says, well, where's the evidence? I mean, I would point to two things. One was the arranged resignation on air, which made it feel as if the BBC was active in provoking discontent within the Labour Party. And the other thing is that there was a suggestion on the BBC that the local election results were poor, when actually I think most people in the Labour Party probably expected them not to be as good as they were. And they, you know, so I think that there is a feeling that not just the BBC, but the wider media has not been objective in a lot of its reporting.
Well, let's take those two things one in order. First of all, it wasn't that the BBC arranged the resignation. It's basically that they announced it at a time whenever they were on air. Now, what is different in terms of that whenever they actually find out information and then they keep it for their programme? That's a bit like a newspaper having a splash, isn't it?
Well, I can understand that point, but it did feel very much as if BBC was party to it. It was, and you know, you said
they're not party to it. They're not party to it. That suggests that they were involved in the decision that was made. This was a decision made by a politician, a grown-up individual, and the BBC reported it.
Well, I think it went a bit beyond that, Chris. I mean, because it was arranged that it would happen live on a BBC show. So, in that sense, the BBC were party to the way in which that announcement was made. And that did feel too much as if it was actually involved in the party political process.
And on the second point, your point about the kind of the council election results, even the way you said that there, basically the results weren't quite as bad as expected. I think those were your words.
No, they weren't. Well, I don't think they were my words, Chris. I mean, there was an expectation amongst many people that the Labour Party would lose significant numbers of council seats. And that did not happen. And actually, there were gains in various places. And the Labour Party did very well in many places. And there was a feeling across the Labour Party that the BBC did not report that objectively.
Well, let's ask Tom Harris, as a former Labour MP, what did you think of the results of the council elections in England?
I think what Paul's complaining about is that the Labour Party spin wasn't accepted wholeheartedly by the BBC, and that's quite right. The local election results in 2016 can only be compared with the same elections that happened in 2012. In 2012, Labour had a 7-point lead in the popular vote over the Conservatives. In 2016, it was a 1-point lead. Now, to say that a loss of lead of 6%, you know, when Ed Miliband won by 7% in 2012 and went on to lead the Labour Party to a terrible election defeat, to then try to claim that Jeremy Corbyn winning by 1% is somehow an advance from 2012. You know, look, you can argue about the how elections were covered. It is not the job of the BBC to report and to believe the spin of any particular political party. They are paid to bring an objective eye.
And I suppose the question then becomes, though, how objective is it whenever they are constantly reporting the concerns of backbench MPs? I mean, you would certainly make the argument, I suppose, that whenever Jeremy Corbyn was on the backbenches, he wasn't getting the kind of publicity that those who are concerned about the direction of the party now are certainly getting on the airwaves.
That's true to a certain extent. I admit that. But the fact is, Jeremy Corbyn is leading a very divided party. His personal politics have never been represented in the leadership of the Labour Party throughout its history, because he comes from a very, very left-wing perspective, a kind of left-wing ideology that's you know, that's simply never been in the mainstream of the Labour Party. That in itself is, of course, a story, and the BBC have to use their news sense to identify stories. If you have former cabinet ministers who are making complaints about the leadership of the party, warning that the party is going down to defeat, then I'm afraid that's a story. It might not be very comfortable for the leadership. I understand Jeremy's frustration at that. But, you know, we have always had politicians complaining about coverage. Whenever a politician stops complaining about the coverage, then there's something very wrong in that. Even Tony Blair used to complain about getting poor coverage.
And
well, everyone does.
And I suppose, Paul Gosling, whenever you take a look at Jeremy Corbyn on some of the doorsteps we've seen in the streets, some of the times he's asked questions, there are leaders who, I suppose, look like they are handling things in a kind of dignified way, that they know what's coming. There are times when Jeremy Corbyn looks like he is not prepared for the kind of questions he's being asked, not prepared for the kind of scrutiny his policies are being put under.
Yeah, I think perhaps, you know, I'm sure that he was taken by surprise in a fairly gradual way of becoming leader, and he's probably still a bit surprised sometimes at the questions that are fired at him. But, I mean, he has said that he wants to conduct politics in a different way. And, I mean, one of the key points here is this splits within the Conservative Party over Brexit, given the same significance as the splits within the Labour Party. And actually, they are much more significant in terms of the future of the country. Yet it does feel sometimes as if a large part of the journalist profession is much more interested in what's going on within the Labour Party than actually what's going on within the Conservative Party.
Yeah, and just interested, Tom, I mean, whenever you watch everything that's happening, and as you mentioned there, you're not a Corbyn fan, at the next general election, do you think you'll still vote Labour?
I think if Jeremy Corbyn is still leader, or if, as I suspect will happen, he's resigned and John McDonnell has replaced him, then no, I won't. You know, and some people in the Labour Party will say, well, good riddance, but let's, you know, if fairly, I think, middle of the road Labour voters are thinking the same way, then the Labour Party is in deep trouble, because the last, you know, for Labour to win the next election, we don't only need to hold on to the people who voted for us this time. We need to persuade Conservative voters to switch to us directly. Now, I just don't see any sign that Jeremy is going to ever do that. And if we're actually losing Labour supporters, not just me, but, you know, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of voters in key seats, then I'm sorry, it doesn't look good for the Labour Party, certainly not for Jeremy Corbyn.
That is quite a thing for a former MP to say. Are you still a member of the party?
I am at the moment, yes.
And whenever you say that you wouldn't vote if the current leader remains in place, I mean, is that something you could get disciplinary action taken against you for?
Oh, quite possibly. I mean, I think technically you've got to actually advocate support for a different party or a different candidate standing for a different party. You either are expelled or you're given a job in the leader's office for that thing. But, you know, I am not advocating support for any other party at the moment. I'm quite sure the party would love to get rid of me. But for the moment, I am still.
I'm sure the leadership will not necessarily be offering you a job. But I'm sure they deny that they offer jobs to keep members. But I'll tell you what, Paul Gosling, that says something, doesn't it, about the discontent within Labour if you have a former MP, a Labour Party member, making that kind of comment quite openly on air.
Well, I'm afraid that that's felt to be the case for some time, not just with Tom, but with other people who are still Labour MPs. You feel actually their loyalty is not with the Labour Party led by Jeremy Corbyn. And I don't really understand, Chris, how someone can be a career politician but has been a member of the Labour Party for decades and will now actually not be prepared to support the Labour Party because their faction has lost out in the leadership campaign.
Well, it's not because of that, Paul. I mean, I'm happy to explain very briefly why I think that it would be impossible for Democrats like me to vote for a Labour Party led by Jeremy Corbyn. This is the man who supported the IRA, not the peace process, who supported the IRA.
He didn't support the IRA. He supported Sinn Féin. He supported Republicans. It's not the same as supporting the IRA.
Well, I'm not sure if there's a much of a difference between
There is a difference. There is a difference.
And he supports Hamas, calls them his friends, describes Hamas, which is a terrorist organisation. He describes them as an organisation committed to social justice. To have someone like that in number 10 in charge of our security is simply unacceptable.
Well, I'm sure Jeremy Corbyn has made clear time and time again that he's opposed to violence and does not in any way support organisations that are involved in violence. Sorry, Paul.
He opposed the war in Iraq, unlike Tom.
Yes, absolutely.
Paul, do you think he does himself any help, though, with this interview, Paul, whenever he chooses to do something, complain about the media, and then whenever he does that complaint, it's within a video which is done specifically by a guy who's a journalist, but who is a Labour Party member and somebody who has openly put himself out as somebody who supports Jeremy Corbyn. Does it not indicate that perhaps he is just looking for favourable coverage no matter what?
I think Jeremy's office needs to rethink its media strategy. I mean, it's clearly decided that social media won his campaign within the Labour Party and that social media is the main means by which he will broadcast to the wider electorate and gain support that way. That's not a complete strategy, and he will need to rethink his approach to the wider media.
And on the wider subject, Paul, I'm just interested in your views on this. We've had quite a heated debate about Europe this morning. There have been some that have felt he hasn't been as strong as perhaps he could have been in terms of his campaign in order to stay within Europe for the UK. Do you feel it has been lukewarm, or do you feel he's been solid within it?
Jeremy and John McDonnell are acutely aware of the damage to the Labour Party from doing joint campaigns in Scotland over the referendum, and they are determined not to suffer the same losses through the Brexit campaign. And I think that he will be campaigning in his own way by making clear the importance for workers' rights of staying within the European Union.
What do you think, Tom? Could he be doing more to kind of campaign on this issue?
I think most people understand that. I mean, Jeremy's been quoted in the relatively recent time as being opposed to EU membership. And I think most people suspect, whether it's true or not, they suspect that his support for the Remain camp has been arrived at after a kind of tortuous negotiation with the shadow cabinet, and that he just doesn't want to open up another front when he's trying to get rid of Trident, etc. He doesn't want to open another front. So I think this smacks a little bit of opportunistic politics. But as far as sharing platforms with opposition politicians, I mean, the worst offender for that, of course, is John McDonnell, who's shared platform with Conservatives six times in the recent past.
Okay. While you're on the line, Tom, actually, you might be interested in this. Let's take a call here, because we have been talking about Europe this morning, and Scotland has been one of the issues that's been talked about. Let's go to Brian, who's in Lambeck. Hiya, Brian.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
No.
The Leave campaign keep talking about how strong Britain or the UK will be when they're outside Europe, how strong the UK is going to do this, the UK is going to do that. Surely the first thing that's going to happen if there is an exit is that Scotland's going to look for another Leave referendum because they want to stay in Europe, and the chances are they'll actually get the referendum to leave. So the Leave campaign are actually campaigning for the breakup of the UK.